Some time ago, I had the pleasure of talking to our next guest in detail about the relationship between art and spirituality, amongst other things. And it was a wonderful series. And we completed the narration and the story. And then she moved on to go and do her other things. And that was the end of it. And then recently, we got back together to have a chat. And an awful lot of new and exciting water has passed under the bridge. So I'd like you to welcome back Lara Bartley. Hello, my dear. How are you?
I'm well, Brody. Thank you.
Well, it's very good to see you. Now, we're going to be doing a series this time of about three programs to cover off a collective series of media that you are putting together. And we'll unbundle all of that story as we go. But the pinnacle of that has been that you've been researching what it means to know the self. Tell us about your PhD research in this area.
Well, I was working as a psychologist, as you know, probably for about 25 years. And one thing about psychology is that it's incredibly rich and incredibly creative. And at the same time, the conversations that you have are very much behind closed doors. And I was really, really interested in my experience of witnessing the human condition, to ask the question, who are we? What does it mean to know who we are?
To know who we are.
Yeah, and they're two different questions. I mean, who are we is often we define ourselves by our identity, our childhood, our roles, our work. And then what does it mean if we know something about ourselves? What does it mean if we have a certain level of insight or clarity around our own stories? And both of those questions were really, really important. And I think one of the reasons, as always, is when you're interested in something, it says a lot about yourself and where you are in your life. And at the time that I was really feeling drawn to ask these questions and to answer them, there was a lot going on in my life. I was losing, my stepmother was dying, and I'd lost my mother of the same disease, and I felt that I was also reaching an age when my mother died, 49, so I was wanting to really ask myself some very important questions, because we can live our lives sometimes on automatic pilot. We just do, and we race toward what we think will make us happy. And then sometimes there's these moments of clarity that can happen often when we're faced by our own mortality through the loss of people that we love. So I reached that point in my life through the challenges that I was having around me, but also through my own health challenges. And I felt that it was time for me to take some of my own space to ask myself some very important questions. And I decided to do that through a PhD.
Well, I understand why an individual might choose to go this route, but why would I want to know how to go down this route, or why to go down this route on reading your PhD? How does it apply to me?
Yeah. Well, I think on a number of levels, and I think it's a really important question. On one level, I think if we know ourselves, then we have the opportunity to respond to life in a different way. We respond to life in a way that has a certain level, or can have, not necessarily, but can have a certain level of compassion, kindness, insight. So we don't react out of stories that may not even be our own. For instance, we don't act out of prejudices or beliefs about ourselves without actually having some understanding of those stories. If I know that I'm have a tendency because of my childhood to be hyper-anxious or hyper-vigilant, that I can look at not the glass half full but the glass half empty, or what glass, was there a glass on the table in the first place, then I can say, okay, that's a pattern that I have, and I can respond to life in that way, or I can choose to catch myself before I react in that way and make another choice. So the identity stories, the stories that have shaped us, often the trauma stories that have shaped us, can be surpassed. We don't need to react or act out of them. So that allows for some more personal happiness. Happy people breed happier children and have happier relationships. So there is a personal and social element.
It sounds to me like, and I've heard of this expression, it sounds to me like this is a process of mindfulness. Isn't that a bit of a fad?
Mindfulness, I think fads are really interesting. Healthy eating is a fad.
It's not a bad one.
It's not a bad one, exactly. And I think the importance of becoming more self-aware, whether it happens through a fad and hopefully can be sustained and become part of our language and our consciousness, that's great. Welcome that sort of a fad. A fad is sort of indicates that it comes, it goes, it sort of loses its popularity. I'm talking about something hopefully that is more sustainable and can continue to shape the way we live. And just to go back to answer that other question, why would it be of interest to you? If we know ourselves, we can be happier and we can be kinder.
So is that mirror, mirror on the wall, please tell me who I am? Is it introspective as a process?
It is introspective.
Right. And that we shouldn't be afraid of that.
No.
And we need to know potentially when we do look how to A, understand what we're looking at, and B, how to unravel it and adjust how we think we should adjust.
And I think that's where that fad of mindfulness comes in. The idea of mindfulness is to become more aware of not only what we're doing, but how we're doing it, and the questions and the ways in which we're approaching life. And the idea of mindfulness has come from the Buddhist tradition. That's where it's rooted in the Buddhist tradition. And the idea of mindfulness is that it breeds compassion.
Mm.
Yeah. So that's a fundamental thing that I think that has separates mindfulness from the fad of mindfulness. Mindfulness in its truest form has underneath all of it is a perception that we become more aware so we can act more kindly both to ourselves and to other living things. And that brings me to the second element of why is it important to know who we are. Human beings are immensely powerful. We are the most powerful species on this planet. I mean, this planet has gone through many deaths and rebirths. It's gone through times when just about every living thing or has been has died.
Had its gone.
This is the first time we face an ecological crisis based on the power of one species.
Self-imposed by one species.
One species has the power to change the quality of life or change the essence or even capacity for life of every living thing on this planet. So it's very important that that species begins to know who it is, what it's capable of, and human beings are capable of so much challenge and horror, but so much profound beauty and wisdom.
Well, let's explore that in our next episode. Lovely to see you again.
Thanks, Brody. You too.
Bye for now.
Bye.